In the middle of its move to Kentucky, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod originates from Tulsa, Oklahoma. There is discussion of horse racing issues and tips for Kentucky Derby travel from two men who know Louisville very well. It's Horse Racing Radio Network's Dan Mason and Horse Racing Nation CEO Mark Midland. Santa Anita General Manager Nate Newby talks about what he has learned from a troublesome time the last 2 years, and trainer Brad Cox makes a cameo appearance to discuss a Monomoy girl in this weekend's Apple Blossom Handicap. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available for download Friday at vsin.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts, and is sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today. James out in Denver. I'm out here in Las Vegas. And James, updating some scores in Major League Baseball games in progress. We got the Red Sox and the Twins tied up now. The Sox are red hot, to be honest with you. They're just knocking the ball everywhere.
Yeah, they've won after getting swept at home for three games in Fenway against Baltimore. Yeah, they've won nine straight and hitting the bait. But I think we noticed this. I was looking at watching them last weekend against Baltimore, and they had back-to-back jacks, and it was back-to-back jacks going the other way, hands in, drive the ball where it is, and not feel like you have to pull the ball. And these guys are so strong, and the harder the ball comes in, the harder it goes out, and drove the ball over the fence the opposite way. So somewhat maybe a more of a different approach. Now, that's just a small snapshot, and I haven't been watching the Red Sox game by game by game. But when you see the way that teams are hitting, and we know that most of these pitchers just don't want to challenge players. We talked about Lance Lynn, not afraid to challenge guys inside, and he's going to give up his share of homers, and I think he did to the Ramirez. I'm not sure. I see the Triber ahead 2-1 now, but guys don't want to challenge. They're going to nibble and pick away. Go the other way. Keep your hands in and drive the baseball, and I did see that out of the Red Sox, and that's probably a big reason why, as a team, collective approach at the plate, taking advantage of these pitchers that don't want to challenge you inside, go with the pitch, go the other way.
Yeah, they're tied up, only three hits, too, for the Red Sox, which is incredible. Mariners, Orioles underway 0-0. Braves, they win that game 7-6 over the Marlins. The Padres, Machado, I think, went yard 8-3 over the Pirates. Mariners 4-2 earlier as well. So keeping everybody up to date with the scores there. Okay, James, the quarterback carousel, the draft, the NFL props, the number 30 overall pick gets very, very interesting because we've seen a shift in some odds here for the number 3 overall pick. And I wonder if the shift has happened because of the fact of this headline. Justin Fields, we know he had his second pro day recently. The 49ers were there. Apparently, Justin Fields, Kyle Shanahan talk at pro day, stirring up buzz who will go number 3 overall to the 49ers.
Right. Oh, as the NFL drafts, the NFL draft, the world turns here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like we need to have, it is. I feel skeptical of all of this, especially at the top of the draft. And, you know, now we have the options to draft, but it's been very limited over years past as far as, you know, being able to bet on the draft at all. And then what certain books want to have exposure to as it goes forward. Now there's more and more coming on board where we have a lot of different options to be able to try to identify where certain players might go. We talked about it earlier. How many Bama players, how many kids from Bama might get drafted in the first round and collectively overall. So plenty of other opportunities here, because I think with San Francisco, obviously they're moving into the third position. They've put their capital out there to trade to draft a quarterback. I kind of thought, we talked about this a while back, kind of was leaning, initially it was talking about the Mac Jones, but seeing how Fields is and how versatile he is and just the options that you have as a play caller to not only what you can call, but all right, let's find some more blank pages in this play sheet here and start to add some more plays because we can expand our play calling based on what he can do and the versatility that Fields brings, the arm strength, the toughness, the mobility, all those types of things. I mean, where do you go with this, Pritchett? This feels like, because I know you hear things get leaked out and you wonder why things get leaked out. What you're putting in propaganda out there, and who is going to buy it? Who is going to believe? What can you read between the lines of so much speak that goes out there and speculation and sources and all these good things? Like, as somebody very familiar with the NFL, obviously in your case, when you hear about pro days and you hear about just because somebody met behind closed doors, you don't know what was said, and then the draft change. I mean, you're talking now it's even money, or it's Fields is now $1.10 to go third to SF. Same where Mac Jones is right now. Earlier yesterday, I looked at this yesterday, Fields was +250, and I was kind of like jumping on Fields here, plus the number at +250. But I just don't trust any of this speak we're out here. I'm skeptical by nature as it is. And this just feels like all this propaganda. I don't know even know where to go with this anymore.
Well, so, okay, put season, off season in quotes, because you have the regular season that's for the players and coaches. Certainly, you want to perform. You want to get to the playoffs. You want to win the Super Bowl. Now, the off season is still a performance for the front office. And so it's highly competitive. And so you'll get smoke screens. You'll get lies. It's lying season right now because you're trying to win. You're trying to win the draft. You're trying to get the player that you want. So when I look at this Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, all this stuff, I mean, these teams have made up their minds. Now, have they done enough to win? Have they done enough to get the player that they want? So when you see Kyle Shanahan talking to Justin Fields at his pro day, he wasn't there to watch Justin Fields throw the ball again. He was there to kind of size up who he is as a person, because he gets to talk to him. He gets to get that interaction. Okay, can I coach this guy? Can I call plays for this guy? And so that's intriguing to me. That, and then you see the shift in the odds now tied with Mac Jones -110.
Yeah, well, and they want to win the draft, like you said, and they also want their competitors, their opponents, to lose the draft. Right. They want to put this thing out. So not only do we want to get our guy or our guys, whatever we're targeting, not only at the top of the board, but also throughout the draft, right? But you also want to put those smoke screens and, like you said, and the propaganda out there so that you're – I think of Trubisky and the Bears a few years ago. What was it that the Bears were so concerned with that they felt like they needed to move up to go get Trubisky? See, they're hearing things. What are they listening to?
Somebody got the Bears.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So not only do you want to win the draft for yourself, you want your opponents to come crashing down and make foolish decisions that not only will impact you now, but are going to impact you as a franchise for going forward. I can't get that Bears scenario out of my head, because not only has it been a challenge with them, especially with the players that they missed on and could have had, but how far back did that set them, right? And so here with SF, playing these kind of mind games or whatever's going on out there, and then we can have the ability to fire on it and to bet on it, you got to consider your sources when you're when you're trying to filter all this information, right? Consider the sources that you're trusting in, because you're investing in this now. This isn't just, we're not just up here talking about it. We have the opportunity to cash in on this. So I think the source piece is really important too. Who do you really want to believe?
Right.
Or what can you read between the lines anyway? Because nobody's going to come out and say it, but we know the intent. Win the draft and have, you know, parties over for your opponents. You want them to butcher the draft.
Absolutely. I mean, there's smoke screens, right? And then there's countermeasures. And somebody did that to the Bears because they got pulled going after Trubisky. Now, you know, the thing is, here at VSiN, though, we'll give you information and you still can make up your mind. Yesterday, I was talking to Josh Applebaum about this, that the assistant head coach for the 49ers is John Embry. And he's the tight ends coach. And he's the best tight ends coach in the National Football League. So if you're looking at Kyle Pitts, I mean, who's going to be more impactful for you if you're the 49ers in terms of getting back to the Super Bowl? You know, Fields, Mac Jones, or this guy who is a premium player?
Yeah, but who's going to throw it to him? Do you want Garoppolo to be the one to throw it to him?
Sure.
I just can't get out of – I'm sure Shanahan has – he wakes up probably in a cold sweat every day for 2 years or a couple years ago in the Super Bowl. And I even thinking about that Emmanuel Sanders, right? He's running I forget the route, but he's streaking that post down the seam. He's open. It's there. You win the Super Bowl, and Garoppolo airmails it. Right? That was the winning. Even with everything else that happened, Garoppolo had multiple opportunities to make some big-time throws to win that Super Bowl. They were the better team. It was the quarterback position that was – you couldn't check the box there as far as which team had the advantage, because clearly Kansas City was better at the quarterback position with Mahomes there than Garoppolo. And if I still think about that – and I was on Kansas City side. I felt very fortunate to win that Super Bowl, Pritch, and everything else that I had in it felt very fortunate, because as that game progressed, I felt like I am completely on the wrong side. SF is the better football team out here. I just have to rely on Mahomes to have to make plays, which he did, and then Garoppolo not to be able to make the clutch plays, which is exactly what he did too, or didn't do. He couldn't make the clutch throws. How do you look at Pitts and say, all right, well, now that you got double tight ends and you got so many playmakers out there, but it's still Garoppolo that has to make the throws. Can he make that in the clutch situations? Even with the greatest talent out there, can he still make the throw? And I just don't know. I just can't imagine Shanahan believes in this kid. And do you move up that much, give up that much capital to go get a kid like Pitts at number three?
For that guy? I think so. I mean, you're talking about KD, a 6'11 wing now. I mean, you're talking about just a difference maker that you've never seen before, really, at that position. And to me, I mean, I throw out tight end. It's NBA and NFL are so similar in terms of the spacing concepts, James, that it's about the middle of the field. It's about spacing. It's about creating room for your playmakers. And if you can find enough playmakers like that, I mean, look at what Tampa did. They littered the field with playmakers for Tom Brady.
Yeah, but it was still Tom Brady being able to make those throws. It's still Brady, man. That's like, and Brady, I know we talk about the mold and Mac Jones and maybe similar. And this, no one's similar to, I mean, yeah, Brady's not, he didn't wow you at whatever pro or the combines, all those things back then, right? It's a 6-round pick. He's carried that. There's not, there's that intangible of just being so driven and so competitive. That is Tom Brady. That's what makes him great.
Yeah.
And can you, I'm sorry, Prince. I just can't get away from looking at Garoppolo and just feeling like Shanahan. We read his body language. And not only in that Super Bowl, right, but we've seen it in the other game. We saw it last year where it just feels like he'll put his face right up and put his hide behind his play sheet and whatever he's grumbling, turn off the mic because he's not happy with Garoppolo and the decision making and his ability to be accurate when it matters. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if Shanahan can get away from that. I feel like it's got to be the quarterback position that they're going after to put so much out there. Now, which quarterback for me, that's the, yeah. I thought it would be Fields, but we can think if I was them, where would I go? But we also have to think where are they going to go? That's the other part too. You have to handicap is just because we think they should do something doesn't mean that we're going to do that. And we can't get, you can always refer back to Mitch Trubisky and moving up to go get Trubisky at two, the way that the Bears did, because nobody else agreed with it. Nobody else really saw that coming. Or at least most people didn't see that coming anyway. Total shocker, and look where they're at now.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first non-quarterback selected, these are NFL props for the draft, the 2021 draft. Kyle Pitts is at plus 125. Sewell's at plus 200. Chase, 250. So if he's not going to go three, then I guess Pitts is going four to whoever. I mean, Atlanta could trade out of that. And then Sewell, he's projected to go to Cincinnati. He's plus 200.
Yeah, I guess the hard part with Atlanta, right, is it feels like the draft starts there. And, what does SF do with the quarterback? Because I feel like they'll do the QB piece. But you look at there's so many holes there with Atlanta. But think about it, not only with the holes that you need to fill, and I just think defense right away, but I don't think you're going to find – you don't want to go – there's nobody on the defensive side that you would want to plug in at four. And, Pitts, terrific talent, like you said, and absolutely. But where are you going as a franchise right now? Right, you're starting over at the coaching position, at the GM spot, all of it. Where it's a complete makeover, and you need to put some butts in the seat too, right there in Atlanta. You got the beautiful new stadium down there, and we know Atlanta is kind of, it's a transplant city, and it has been for a while, where you don't have a lot of following with a lot of the local teams, right? And it always feels like you look at those stadiums, and they're, even if it's a beautiful stadium there in Atlanta, it always feels like it's half full. You got to put butts in the seats. How do you put butts in the seats? You got to score, right? And that's what it is. So you think, all right, we got to rebuild. Maybe you trade down, get more picks, and you're looking long-term. But is Atlanta looking more long-term? Or are they looking like, we got to sell some season tickets and put some butts back in these seats? We didn't have anybody here last year, and we can find a way to score. We're going with Matt Ryan at quarterback, and you bring a kid like Pitts out there along with Ridley and Jones and plenty of playmakers mm-hmm. to at least put points on the board, and it'll be exciting to watch. Maybe at the end of the day, you're still losing the game because you can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
Right, as far as the Falcons go, but now you've talked about the spacing and bringing in Pitts with all those terrific wideouts and Matt Ryan still slinging the football around. At least from that standpoint of putting points on the board, they'll be exciting to watch. Do they go that route? Maybe that's where they go.
I know with a head coach too that loved to pound a rock with Derrick Henry. You know, he was highly conservative out there. Maybe he had to, but even though he had Tannehill. Certainly now as a head coach, you can do things differently out there in Atlanta. And you mentioned putting butts in the seats. Now, Atlanta's interesting. You know, when you win, I played out there. When you win, they show up. That's right. For sure. But if you're not winning, they will not show up. There's a lot of things to do out there in hot Atlanta. But it gets more interesting to me, too, because if Pitts is good enough for four, why is it good enough for three, though?
Well, I guess I think for San Francisco, I think it's more long-term for San Francisco. Right? I think Atlanta's trying to change a whole culture there, change the culture of their franchise and the identity of that team, and try to get butts. I think about the Braves. Braves had playoff games, and you saw a lot of empty seats there, right? So even when you're winning, maybe they got spoiled in the 90s how good they were. But I just feel like it's still – when it comes back to number three and San Francisco at the quarterback position, put all the great pieces around Garoppolo, and they got a revamped offensive line. Like what they've done on the offensive line.
Spent a lot of money there.
I mean, all the pieces are there. Mm-hmm. I think you can can you make that happen with the pieces in place and plug in a player like Fields, not only for this year, maybe not get there this year, but longer term. I think that's the answer, and I think that's where they go.
Okay, we have some other NFL player props we're going to get to. Draft props coming up in the 2021 NFL draft. That's coming up next. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, unless you're hiring. Fortunately, Indeed has great tools that help speed up the hiring process. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the show. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you on Betting Across America. And we're presented by BetMGM here at the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. Of course, in Denver, Colorado with James Salinas. And James, continuing with the NFL draft, offensive positions drafted in the first round. So this gets interesting. The total quarterbacks, 5.5. The over is +325. The under is -450. Obviously, the heavy favorite right there. Running backs, the over, the total is 1.5. The over is +160. The under is -200. Wide receivers, the total 4.5. The over is -250. The under is +190. Tight ends, we were just talking about Pitts. How about this one? The total there is 1.5. The over +375 and the under -550. And then offensive linemen, the total 6.5. The over +110. The under -140.
It's an offense league now. Right.
Yeah.
The rules are geared towards it, and the practices from the standpoint you can't tackle anymore, like very limited practice time with pads on. Like everything is such in favor of the offense, and we understand why. But we talked about the Falcons last segment, put butts in the seats based on the offense, and at least people will watch they'll come and watch a shootout before they watch a 16-13 finish. Mm-hmm. I just think like all of these, it's got to be looking over. I mean, and that's the other piece too, is the patience there for not only for players development, lack of that, like you got to be ready to get in there and make an impact right away. And same with coaches and front office too, with GM, like you better get out of here. We have a short window to go win. We need to see, what have you done for me lately? As in right this minute, are we competing? Are we have a chance to compete? There's no more 5-year plan. It doesn't seem like that. It's just you got to win, and you got to win now. Instant gratification society, especially here in this country, and this is what's expected. So,
right.
I got to look, Pritch, at all of these and just think I got to look over. I mean, we look at if we're going toward. I think the quarterback is the interesting piece for one. You talked about the quarterbacks with. I know we're going to have five off the board, and it's sitting at 5.5, juiced pretty good to the total, to the over. Right at +325. How about somebody like a Kyle Trask? I mean, you're going to move up to go get Trubisky, I mean, what do we see out of Trubisky? You saw a hell of a lot more out of Kyle Trask at Florida than what you saw at Trubisky at UNC. And you're going to fire up to go up there and get him? I mean, not that I'm saying that he should be a first round talent, but just because we think where certain players land, just the urgency of coaches and front offices and franchises to try to, we got to find somebody. We got to make a move. I think about here in Denver and all the moves that Elway has done, moving and getting up and way overvaluing certain quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't it not, maybe Kellen Mond, but more so I just think of Kyle Trask, and I don't think they're first round players, but there's a lot of pressure to have to get after and get something started now. I could see sitting there at 5.5 plus over $3, mm-hmm. taking a shot with that and figuring there's going to be one of these quarterbacks, Trask, wants somebody. There's going to be a reach. Some franchise is going to make a reach. Why wouldn't they do it at the quarterback position? I'd be betting the over.
You know what, James? You have some teams in the bottom part of the draft that will look, the good teams will look, hey, we can find another quarterback and maybe sit him for a while and still have those guys, right? And so pulling back the curtain, when I was drafted 13th overall my year, I got calls at 9 because teams were anticipating a run on my position, wide receiver. So you had teams below Atlanta, like Pittsburgh, for instance. The pick was 9, and yet Pittsburgh was calling from 14, 15. And then you had the Cowboys, you had the Falcons calling me at 13 because they anticipated a run on positions. So if you get a run on positions, everything is in play here. So you like wide receivers at 4.5. If you get a wide receiver run on that position, the over at +190, actually that's the under. The over right now is a favorite, -250. So your point about quarterbacks is true. So the over 5.5 gets interesting here.
Oh, for the quarterbacks too, and then the receiver point too. I think so too. I think we know Chase, Waddle, Smith, Kadarius Toney's probably going to go. Does he go? What about Rashad Bateman? I like that kid with the Gophers in Minnesota. I think it goes over. You might even get Terrence Marshall might get in there. What about the kid from Purdue? Right? Like there's again that need to even if you're reaching, you got to take a shot. As a GM, I might not be here very long if we don't start winning and put some butts in the seats and points on the board. I'm willing to take a reach. We're going to take a shot here. I would be looking at all of these quarterback and definitely that receiver, even though it's juiced to the over. Mm-hmm. You'd have to pay a price for that. I like that too. I think it goes over 4.5 as far as the wide receiver position. Even now, 30 years.
James. Sports betting action this spring is just getting started, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races, plus we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to cash more tickets, including our 24/7 video coverage, complete odds and analysis of every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every sport and point spread weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas are your hosts today, updating everybody. James, on scores, Boston Twins still tied at 3. Indians over the White Sox 3-1 in the 7th. Mariners Orioles tied in the 4th 1-1. And then everything else is finals that we mentioned earlier as well. So these Red Sox, very interesting to me as a battle, James.
I mean, approach at the plate has been helpful. Competing here and playing, winning nine straight since they got swept in Baltimore. So, you know, it's just so early in the season. We don't want to take too. You can't take too much, right? They get swept in Fenway by Baltimore. Oh, the party's over. Look how terrible Boston is. Then they come out and run the table nine straight here. And oh, this is the World Series contender. It's 2 weeks into the season, right? So, we're gonna have every team's gonna go through that. Now, maybe not every team. I could think of the local team here in Colorado, here in Denver, Pritch, that probably will not go on a nine-game winning streak. They're looking to stop a five-game losing streak right now. But most teams are going to go through a lot of ups and downs, and obviously right now Boston's on the right side of the ups.
Mm-hmm. So Oakland, they've kind of turned it around. They're 5-7 now. They got the Detroit Tigers, James, a little bit later on. 8.5 is a total here. And we have the Detroit Tigers as a dog plus 155.
Yeah, and got to take advantage and went and banged around the Astros and obviously took advantage of a depleted Astros lineup yesterday due to COVID. But, yeah, another young team. You're going to have ups and downs with the Tigers for sure. A lot of team in rebuild mode for definitely. And Manaea takes the hill. Sean Manaea is not one that I tend to trust a whole lot here, but it is a pitcher's park in Oakland. And looking at the Tigers, you know, the young kid, Tarik Skubal, he's going to get the start. Young pitcher, hasn't pitched a whole lot in the big, so not a lot to go off of with a pitcher like this. Now, he's in a sense, an Oakland native. He grew up in Hayward, which is like a 20-minute BART ride from Oakland Coliseum. So I'm sure the kid's going to be jazzed and pumped up to be back home and plenty family and friends, whatever the capacity is there at Oakland for friends to attend since he is a native there in Hayward. Yeah. So I tend to think at least through the first go round, this is where I was looking at the first five and playing the under here. Neither team, it's with Oakland, they are going to try to hit the baseball out of the park, and they do tend to bang on lefties pretty good. But I think at least through the first go around in the order, not a lot to go off of. Skubal says he has a pretty live fastball, so maybe we'll see some strikeouts, and then the adjustments come as the game progresses next time through the order. I think for a team like the A's, they may need to see him one time through since you really don't have – they haven't faced him before, not a lot to go off of. So I was looking at the under here just only in the first five. It's sitting here at 4.5. It's even – it's laying $1.10. So kind of trusting that the young kid for the Tigers fired up to be back home. Sometimes that can go against you too, right, Prince?
Right.
Maybe a little too amped up, right? And yeah, I got a little too fired up here. but a team like the A's who I – you know, this is a team that likes to, they will chase pitches out of the zone and try to hammer the baseball. So maybe he can get out in front of him a little bit and temper his adrenaline because it'll be there. So that's really what I was looking at in this game, just the first five and playing the under 4.5 in that matchup.
Okay, first five under there in that game. Okay, that's interesting. So this isn't your style, I know this, but we do have prices for it. So let's go to the AL MVP right now. You got some guys that are just off to an incredible start. Trout is plus 200. Otani, 11-1 right now. Bregman, 12-1. At least these are some prices right now. And is this sustainable? I mean, Trout, he's always going to be up there, right? But then Otani is very interesting to me, 11-1.
Yeah, and I mean, with Trout, it's plus you're getting $2. So there.
Yeah.
Long season to go. You don't want to fire on that just because there's no return. It's got to be, if I'm doing this, it's double digits, right? You got to get some return back and then have some fun with it too. It's definitely not a big investment on something like this. And we know you got to stay healthy for a long time, but your team has to win as well. And you've got to be consistent with that. So with a player like Otani, I mean, I get it, right? Not only being able to hit the baseball and hit for average, drive the ball out of the ballpark, but also get on the mound and have good starts. So we don't see that. That's unique in this, you know, in this game, especially since he's playing in the American League and he's going to be obviously getting more starts than what a pitcher would in the National League gets the bat. So, yeah, I get it. It's fun to look at. And Otani's an interesting talent. But, you know, then you're on the same team with Trout. But because he is versatile that way and does something that Trout does not do and going to be able to take the ball if he's healthy to pitch every 5 days. My concern with Otani is just staying healthy. right? Mm-hmm. Coming back from those injuries and being able to sustain the grind of a full major league season and the injuries that he sustained very early, unfortunately, for such a talented player in his career. That would be my only hesitancy here for playing any of these players, and especially a player like Ohtani coming off these injuries, is how can they sustain it and can they stay injury-free? And I tend to bet, say, no, they don't. So I wouldn't want to take a shot with Ohtani. And the number seems kind of short, too, Pritch, sitting there at 11.
Yeah. How about Nolan Arenado in the NL, James? He's 12-1. I know MLB Network, some people are singing his praises right now, trying to proclaim he could win the MVP this year.
Yeah, well, he better start by winning the division in the NL Central, and I don't think the Cardinals will. And it's just, I still like the Brewers in that division to win out. I just think that over from top to bottom, that pitching staff from the starters, especially the top end of the rotation, to that bullpen, it's the best. It's the best staff by far within the NL Central. So, yeah, I mean, unless he's going to go out and unless Arenado is going to go out and start putting up some of those Coors Field numbers, mm-hmm. I don't see him being able to carry this team, because if you're going to be MVP, you better, unless he's going to go out and just have massive numbers, which in that ballpark against some of those teams that here, especially with the Brewers and even the Reds at the top of their rotation. Right, there's going to be a lot of lower scoring games because the Cardinals don't hit the baseball.
Yeah,
and so he's going to have to. Is he going to get pitches to hit? Are pitchers going to challenge him? Why would you? If you know down the lineup, we can avoid Arenado. We're not going to let you beat us. As far as Goldie and Arenado, we'll go down the lineup and challenge those hitters. I just don't know if he's going to get the opportunities to hit. I don't think the Cardinals win the division either.
Yeah, I hear you. You got Soto, Betts, Acuña up there too in front of him. So we'll see what happens right there. Very, very early, obviously. Come up next on the program, our resident NBA expert, Jonathan Von Tobel. How challenging is it to bet, or is there angles? Certainly chances to cash some tickets. He's coming up next. We all love home runs in Major League Baseball, especially if you are a new BetMGM customer. Turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSIN100. And if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Dodgers or Rockies, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. It's a new customer offer and is paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 800-522-4700. In Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia, it's 800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana and Tennessee. Call or text a red line. 800-889-9789. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas are your hosts today. And in studio, about to host my guys in the desert, I believe, again, is Jonathan Von Tobel, who is our NBA expert here at VSIN. JVT, what's going on?
I hope I'm hosting my guys in the desert. I just showed up for this, which I don't mind.
Oh.
But I'd also
okay.
think my wife would also like me going home, too. So, yeah.
Okay, we'll see
I'll
then.
I'll do it.
But thank you for your time in studio then. Okay, absolutely. So, you know, we have the situation, what, four games here mm-hmm. left on the schedule today. James and I were talking about what do you do betting the NBA. Clearly, there's a lot of players out there that just want to get to the finish line now. Rather, instead of the regular season, let's get to the playoffs. And I have an injury. I don't have an injury. What do we do here? So as a bettor, do you try to cap that or gauge that? Or what do? Just avoid it?
No, I mean, every situation is unique, right? And we can go to a lot of these and talk about, you know, if a guy is actually hurt. But I think what you do is if you're going to bet early, you bet on the games where injury reports are relatively clean, where you expect guys to be on the court. We have an idea of what's going to happen. You know, this Lakers and Celtics game, for example, took six earlier today because reading reports, looking at injury reports from the other night, listening to press conferences, you get an idea that pretty much everybody is going to be available. At least everybody you expect to be on the court is going to be out there. And so this is a game where I'm comfortable, you know, betting early on, which I did. The other games, right, where there's injury question marks, like Atlanta and Milwaukee, for example, you know, Trae Young. Remember the last game, he was actually, people thought he was good to go. I think that was one of the quotes that was out there. He ends up missing that game. He's missed his last two. Giannis has missed five consecutive games. That's not a game that I'm comfortable betting because I don't even know if those two are going to be out there. And those are impact guys, right? It's not just a, you know, tertiary player who's not playing, right? Like a Blake Griffin who doesn't impact the power rating. Those are the two most important players. And sure enough, you know, you see the change. The Bucks opened up as a 6-point favorite, and now you're down to four here. So if you laid six, you're like, Bucks, I'm in. And then you realize, well, the market's going to start moving in the direction, hedging that Giannis probably isn't going to play. So that's how I've been attacking it. And that's how I believe that, you know, for the majority of bettors probably are and should.
So, JBD, let's also incentive, right? Not only being healthy, who's available, but kind of looking at standings. And Pritch and I were talking about this earlier as far as certain teams really could care less whether they're a two or a three or a four seed. Seeding really doesn't matter for some of these teams, more so coming in, whatever seed you're in, once the playoffs start, that your team is intact and healthy and ready to go. But then we have some other teams, and maybe it's kind of watered down. I mean, I look at the East. I look at this game tonight with the Warriors going in to play the Cavs. Started off at 7.5 of his favorite. It's ticking down to the Cavs, and I kind of see why. Thinking about the Cavs, even though, I mean, they're towards the bottom of the standings in the Eastern Conference, but realistically, they're just two games back of that, I guess, that play-in seed at 10. Do you look at, when we're looking at playoff standings and seedings or potential on the outside looking in, as far as incentive goes for certain teams, would you play and want to back a team like the Cavs, even though they're so far down the list that maybe they're still playing for a playoff spot?
Yeah, you know, I think that definitely ties into certain matchups, James, but I think we also have to realize, too, you know, the Warriors have plenty of motivation themselves, right? And so in a situation like this, you know, how does that counteract with the other in terms of competing for a play-in or making sure you're going to stay within that play-in situation like the Warriors are trying to do? So I think, like, I personally, James, have always had trouble playing to a certain extent, for lack of a better term, like amateur psychologists, trying to gauge whether or not these teams want to do it. So I kind of always go into each matchup assuming you're going to get full effort. But I will say, in terms of the line move, you know, I wrote about this today in the game previews, where you're looking at the Warriors over the last few games, right? Soft spot part of the schedule. They're 4-1 straight up and against the spread. Their last five games, they've won and covered their last three. They drop 140 on the Thunder the other night. Their offense has been insane, 119.5 points every 100 possessions. But this is also a team that is in the mid-20s in terms of offensive efficiency on the season. And you look at their opponents, 24th, 25th, and 26th in defensive efficiency, three of them. So you kind of realize that this Warriors team, I think from a power rating perspective, is being a little overvalued. And so I think that's why you probably start to see the number head towards Cleveland's direction. It might be motivation, but I also think the market got a little overzealous when we saw this open up at 8. And now it's moving back to probably where it should, because the offensive explosion we've seen from Golden State over the last few games is clearly not real. And they've just taken advantage of the schedule that's put in front of them, and it led to, I think, a little bit of an overvalued number.
Speaking with Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA expert, in studio with us here on the program. JBT, can you cap or gauge when teams are running out of gas? I mean, we have this matchup with Sacramento and Phoenix is a big number. Yep. There's some prop situations that James informed us about, and certainly was outstanding with information about some props that might be attractive to folks. But what about the spread, the side, and then also the total, 234.5?
Yeah, so I think when it comes to Sacramento, I think they're just poorly coached.
Okay.
Right? Like,
okay.
I don't even know if they're just running out of gas, if they're just like a garbage team, right? And the problem with a team like Sacramento is, if you've been tracking them throughout the year, this is who they've been. Mm. Like, they will rip off 7 or 8 wins. Remember that stretch? There was a series with Memphis in the first half of the season that got postponed. They get extra practice time. They win 9 out of 10 games. Yep. They cover all 10 of them, whatever the streak was. And then they go on, they lose 6 straight. And then they go on a 7-game win. Like, this is what this team has been. To me, it's a sign of poor coaching. It's just a very up and down, uneven team. And we're kind of in the middle of that stretch right now. I will say, though, twofold here for me. One, kind of along the same lines we were talking about with Golden State. Golden State's clearly going through a soft part of the schedule, poor defenses, so their offense is really benefiting from it, and it's peaking at this point. Mm-hmm. The Sacramento Kings right now, from an offensive standpoint, offensive rating of a 104.3 over this losing streak that they're currently on, eight consecutive games. This is a team that has flirted with a top 10 spot in offensive efficiency on the year. They're better than what they've shown over these last few games. You'd expect that to correct itself at some point, but is it against Phoenix, who we talk about motivation with James, they're motivated. Right. They took a game from Utah last week. They want to take the number one overall seed. They lost to the Clippers, which isn't great, but they still have a spot to potentially take the number one overall seed in the West. But their power rating has been in an all-time high because while they've won 10 out of 11, they've only covered six of those games. So any one of these games that you're betting on Phoenix, I think you're buying at the top of the market. Okay. And so in that instance, I'd rather find myself on the side of Sacramento. Mm.
So, JBT, let's stick with the Suns because we talked about bad coaching there in Sacramento. Now let's talk about the good coaching side with Monty Williams there with Phoenix. And he was somebody I talked about with Pritch. We talked about it. I really liked him. I, if you know Monty Williams' story, really, you know, a lot of tragedy through it. And he's been around. He's been around with Pop. And I think he's just a terrific leader and understands the NBA. And I think in this day and age in the NBA, we see a lot of load management, rest management, all those kind of things. And I think what he's been doing with the Suns, and this is really what I want to key in on with you and give me your assessment, not only with Williams, but what he's doing with his team, is he's digging into his bench. I mean, he goes deep into his bench where his starters, they're playing the games. They're not sitting out games, but they're not playing as many minutes. So load management from a sense of minutes management. And I think you're seeing a team that's really finding themselves playing, obviously, incredibly well. And so much of that feels like, yeah, Chris Paul, a great addition. But also, I just feel like Williams has done a great job knowing how to reach and find guys to play together and being that leader for the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, right, you know, 33.8 minutes per game for Devin Booker, only 31 minutes per game for Chris Paul. Bridges right there, who you see on your screen if you're watching, only 32. So you're absolutely right, James. Like, the management in terms of minutes has been absolutely great for this Phoenix team. You know, I just wonder from, you know, we see this all the time, right? There's plenty of great examples. The Milwaukee Bucks of the last few years, the Atlanta Hawks, those teams that won like 60-ish games were one seeds in the Eastern Conference. You know, we do tend to see that the teams that prioritize winning in the regular season don't ultimately perform very well in the postseason, right? Maybe whether it's, you want to say they exhaust themselves trying to get a top overall seed, whatever reasoning you want to use, we kind of have this track record recently of these teams, and I wonder how much that affects Phoenix. And I don't even know if it's so much trying so hard. It's like, I just don't really love their depth overall. While you're managing minutes, you know, I think I'd put four or five teams in front of Phoenix in terms of benches that I like a little bit better. And so I wonder, all of this put together, while everything has worked out for Phoenix in terms of being a really good regular season team, they surpassed their win total the other night mm-hmm. with a victory over, I can't remember whatever team it was, but they surpassed it. Like, this is great for them now, but in terms of the postseason, I kind of understand the market's hesitancy to back them and why there are still those prices out there on them to win the Western Conference, to win the NBA Finals, and things like that nature.
Okay, we got a little bit of time left. Trying to preview what the playoffs could be. The Nuggets, are they going to be okay, or are they going to struggle when they get to the playoffs? And then in the East is Boston. They're trying to heat up. I mean, is this sustainable?
So actually, it's a great plug. Just put out a podcast today, Pritch, Hardwood Handicappers. Talked a little bit about that. But no, with Boston, I think there is, fraudulent is not the right term, but they are playing better defensively. They're 8-4 straight ups, you know, what, 7-4-1 against the Red last 12 games. The defensive rating's been really solid. But I think when you look at what they have been able to do over the last few games, I think I'm looking at Boston in more of specific matchups in the postseason as opposed to win the Eastern Conference, win the NBA Finals. Like, I think they would be a nightmare for Milwaukee. Okay. If Milwaukee gets them in the first round, I think that, like, that's the series that I'm betting on Boston in, mm-hmm. and I know I'm probably going to get a plus price. And I'm sorry, the first part of your question was,
in terms of the Nuggets, are they going to be okay?
Yeah, and the Nuggets, you know, the problem with the Nuggets is there's a factor that we don't have a lot of sample size work with, right. And that's Aaron Gordon, right? You know, mm-hmm. if you look at the numbers without Jamal Murray, they're actually getting outscored. If you look at the Jokic numbers without Jamal Murray, they're outscored by more. I think it's like almost 3 points every 100 possessions. But Aaron Gordon's there now, and those numbers don't really count for a lot of those Aaron Gordon minutes and what that means. I think they'll generally be fine. But I still think now, at this point right now, the Nets are better. And if we're just talking specifically about the Western Conference, fully healthy, Clippers are better, Lakers are better. Mm-hmm. And then we can talk a little bit more about that Jazz matchup. And I still think I would give the edge to Utah.
Okay, I got to get this in real quick. I know we got seconds left. But JJ, our producer, informed me that Justin Fields is now minus 140. minus 140 now.
Let's go.
To go third overall, James. Just during the show, he moved off and ahead of as a favorite in front of Mac Jones.
Let's go.
As the propaganda continues, right? Who read between the lines, know your sources. I'm leaning with you, Pritch. I think I'm going to stay out of this.
I hear you. We'll have you back on tomorrow. We'll probably discuss this some more, certainly. That'll do it for us today, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.